Shut up and sit down.
I was riding on my bike.
So I'm in the hot seat, so here we go.
I grip the handlebars as I overtake home.
You are listening to the Dialed Podcast with Natalie Graham, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Derung.
El asiento caliente está de vuelta.
Hello and welcome to the hot seat.
All of us will end up in the hot seat.
So embark on this journey with us, won't you? On the hot seats with me.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I'm Jake Von Derung. I'm here with Lance Hepler.
Lance Romance.
In studio.
Hi, Lance.
Hi.
With a very, very cleaned up handlebar mustache.
It's a nice
straight razor shave mustache. Yep. It's looking good today.
Looking good.
Smooth.
Smooth and creepy.
Smooth and creepy.
You generally grow that for cyclocross, right? Just going into cyclocross season, kind of concurrent with when the weather goes bad, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
But the weather has just been bad.
Continuously bad, and he's still got the mustache, maybe it's time
to
shave.
It's just a reflection of weather, I think.
Hog tie him and get him shaving clean so the weather goes nice.
I have shaved it clean, and then I feel wrong.
Yeah,
I look in the mirror and I'm naked.
It's not good. Make it out.
Or more naked than normal.
Brandy, if you're listening to this, we're on to something.
Yeah.
When Lance is sleeping,
get the clippers out. I would not put that past her, actually.
I could go incognito again and shave the mustache off. Nobody would recognize me.
This is true.
I like that plan.
Should do that to start cyclocross season and see how many people recognize you.
Can't do it during cyclocross season. That's just wrong. You can do it now, but
okay.
To Lance's left, Evan Price.
All right, we got I am drinking from a Martine bottle, not Martine, because I mean, come on, I'm not just going to like sip on Martine over here. I think it's like a something light little packet that I got from a gas station. And okay. Lance is drinking Monster.
I have a zero sugar Monster
zero sugar.
Energy. We're almost through all the free ones that have been dropped off.
So you know it's
wave
good.
Wave down the next van.
We got Matt with our sponsor, Kirkland.
Kirkland's sponsor.
And then we got Jake grabbing his drink, the Podium Blue Chill bottle. Water. I don't know what's in there, but yeah, water. Good.
Yeah, it started my kombucha really early. Lance and I were getting all ready for the podcast in here. Sat down, got everything set up, started drinking. When I looked down, I'm like, oh, we still got like 20 minutes to go before the guys get here. So.
Does your stomach like do well with kombucha overall? I know you're drinking a decent amount.
Some people, will have some gastric distress. I could drink three or four.
That's impressive.
100% fine.
I can't do that.
My little brother's the same way, apparently. He can drink like a lot of kombucha. I try to, and it's just like my stomach is toast the rest of the day.
What's the deal with kombucha? What is it? Is it good for you or something?
I'm sure it is, but you know.
I don't think so.
Monster.
Good for you.
What is it?
I mean, it's. I think that it's. Kind
Isn't
of
it like
a
fermented something?
Yeah. It's fermented. Yeah. I know that.
I think that's what. I think it reminds me of like an.
Sounds
I,
good.
My stomach rejects things that's supposed to be good for it, though. We're trying to work on that, but you know.
I don't know.
I just know it's fermented. That's right.
And last but not least, Matt LeGrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet? You guys look fantastic.
Smooth
and creepy.
Matt is going with, have we thought about anything for the summer facial hair? Sure.
I'm going to do the same thing I always do, which is like shave it, then grow it out, then shave it, then grow it out, repeat.
I think we need to come up with, because I think that you could have a really cool facial hair thing that becomes your thing at like the Y races. It's like Matt's a guy with the camera at the Y races. He also has an awesome goatee or something like that, you know?
Yes.
I think you could rock a goatee of all the things you could do. I think a goatee would be best.
I think I had one in college. Like just
really?
I'm trying to remember
did
what
you have
I
a
did.
Stash with it?
Because I had long hair and like and I think
did
I had
you have a goatee and long hair.
I think I had like maybe one of I think I definitely had like the hair like all around the chin. Just chin hair.
With no mustache though?
I think no mustache.
And long hair?
In long hair, but then I shaved my hair to this length.
That's an amazing look. Did you PR your 10K with that look?
No.
Dang it. That would be... That was like
freshman year. And then I don't know.
And then they made fun of you enough and you're like, okay, fine.
No one made fun of me. That was like the look back then was to have like a goatee.
Yeah.
It was like kind of, if you think like late 90s, early 2000, that was kind of like the look, you know?
Yeah, this is like when that one summer song was like, I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. It was like the guy in the background was Matt with like the hair and the goatee.
Hair and the goatee. It was big. I was in that. Yeah, I was in that music video.
That's cool. Yeah, I could see that.
It was big.
Little known fact, they actually filmed that on the Alabama coast. I just made that up.
All right, how about some backpedaling, boys?
I'll go first.
Anybody ready? Okay, go, Matt. Go.
Well, we can talk about racers. No. We can move through the crappy stuff, which would be my stuff. Sure. I think I swam.
Nobody raced here. So.
I think I swam four times.
Nice.
In the past week, which is good.
And very good, yeah.
Just been on the bike trainer. I actually went out a couple of times on the road. I didn't tell anyone or post it to Strava just because it was such a short ride. They were like,
going ghost.
One of them was maybe 4 miles. The other one was like 3 miles. Oh, well,
but you got outside.
There's no such thing as too short for Strava. I one time posted a 30-mile walk to Strava. So there's no shame.
And I posted a stand-up paddleboard to Strava.
Oh, you did.
Nice. Stand-up paddleboard ride because I went out there in the rain to put the buoys out because people have been asking
you put
for
the buoys out?
People have been.
You're the best. I could have helped you with that.
People have been like, hey, where are the buoys? And I'm like, get off your butt and do it yourself, man. This is just like buoys that I bought and I'm putting it in the lake. I've been getting harassed to put the buoys out.
But that's how well known you are at Fallen Leaf is when we went out there, John and Scott, I don't think that John Scott knew that you were the one who did, because they asked me, they're like, where are the buoys? And I'm like, that's Matt. Like Matt is recovering from a surgery is what's happening.
It's going to be a little late this year, but I did put them out.
It was a little chilly to get the buoys out, right?
I put them out on Sunday and it started pouring down rain when I was out there, which was, it was like beautiful for the first buoy. And then I came back the next one and put it out there and I was like, oh, it's not pretty anymore.
Dude, you should have just waited. I could have helped you with that. I feel bad now.
I didn't realize you guys were swimming on Sunday.
Yeah, with the last 3 weeks we've been there. Yeah.
You've been at Fallen Leaf the last 3 weeks?
Last
I would just come
weeks,
out and watch.
Last I'm 2 weeks, and then we were Columbia. Yeah, come out with us this next Sunday.
I mean, I'm kind of that guy that would just go
bring
watch
Ethan with you.
Open water swimming.
Bring Ethan to open water. Be like, hey, man, this is, we can find him.
He would
him
love it because Sundays he can't swim, and so he would just come open water swim. Anyway, I also biked outside twice, which is crazy because I'm testing some. Well, I was testing a bike computer and testing some more stuff that's coming out soon. And and I needed to get some footage of all that stuff, not just talk about the specs. I like to use the products occasionally.
Yeah.
So doing it.
Nice.
Doing the rides, doing the biking.
Sweet.
Yep.
Lance Hepler.
Yes.
Do you want to back pedal, dude?
I rode almost every day this week, which I haven't done
outside
in a long time. I did ride on the trainer one morning.
Because it's been rainy.
Yeah, it has been rainy. But I rode quite a bit, like almost 16 hours this week, which is...
How many miles? Wow. You keep track of that?
It was like 250
great,
or
man.
280 miles. So it
that's
was,
quality.
It was quite a bit, yeah.
You feel good? Are you feeling good out there?
Whoa! No, I feel slow and sluggish and really not all that sharp.
That's okay. It'll come. If you keep putting in 200-mile weeks, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of rolling with it. I rode gravel on Tuesday night with the crew. We had a blast doing that out on the new dike. We had a lunch ride here at the lab on Wednesday. I did that.
Wednesdays are killing me, man.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful day for a ride.
It was a great day for a ride.
It's the early, it's kids' early release on Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah. And we ride at like 12:30
get
here
some
at the
older lab.
It's exactly when they come home.
Yeah.
Is that a thing that's going to stay?
Put the kids on bikes.
Is that going to stay permanently now, the early releases on Wednesdays?
It's been like that forever. Yep.
Oh, has it always been near that reach?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Get some older kids. Speaking of older kids, any new cars in your house?
There might be one. My daughter is driving now.
She's driving now?
Wow.
Yeah, and she's got a car now. It's crazy.
Man, watch out, cyclists. Out on the roads,
you know
new
what?
Drivers.
She'll look for cyclists.
You know she should take care of cyclists. If anyone is going
to. You know how handy that is? Hey, go to the grocery store. Oh, hey, go pick up your sister. Go get this.
Does she like driving?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the,
Yeah.
You got a rare one right there because most of the kids I talk to, that is right up. They're like scared of driving. They don't want to drive.
Yeah. She's been driving since
I was pumped
almost
drive.
Like a full year of like permanent driving. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's working out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice.
Anything else?
It's his back pedal.
I
took
back
over.
Pedaling.
Done?
Oh, okay. I did ride gravel one day, just like for 4 hours, just out screwing off.
Where'd you go?
I rode all the way out to Vancouver Lake and to Frenchman's Bar and in the farmer's fields in between. I saw a river otter running through a plowed field.
Those farmer fields are like pretty rough riding, like fun, but it's like near rough riding.
Oh, yeah.
It can get muddy back there.
Yeah.
So you rode your gravel bike out.
Gravel bike. Yeah.
Out to Vancouver Lake and then found some fun stuff.
Found some fun stuff out there. That was nice.
four hours.
Yeah, I know. I was just,
you're having fun.
I was just having fun. Yeah. I was just screwing off. I had no agenda. And I'd skipped all the racing this week. I missed the Cascade Gravel Grinder. I missed the Coast Hills Classic mountain bike race. I bailed on all those. So I ended up just riding with Jake on Sunday for 50 miles. Yeah. And it was like...
Where'd you guys go?
We rode up to Hawkinson and around and some new roads. And
you found something new?
We got... we were just like...
Screwing around. Yeah.
It's just a zone 2 day. That's all we wanted to do.
It's just zone 2 day. Yeah.
Started we off got, pretty nice.
It was gorgeous. And then we got dumped on for the same damp. We actually rode
at 12.
Past.
Yeah.
We rode past.
Past the lake?
Past the lake.
Yeah.
We saw Cassie running too.
We did see Cassie running. Yeah.
What day was that again?
Sunday.
Sunday yesterday.
Sunday, yeah. Yeah. She swam there Sunday
So you guys
morning.
Must have started at 11 or something and then just got dumped 10:30, on at 12.
Yep. Yeah, we started.
You must have put those out right after they were done swimming because they started at like 8, I think. They were probably done at 9.
I was... Out there from I
these
started
guys love
at
talking
like 11.
About buoys, don't they?
No,
I don't. Yeah.
Buoys,
cycling buoys,
buoys.
Buoy
they're
talk.
Beautiful buoys. Let me tell you about them.
Them buoys.
Them buoys.
Oh, cool.
All right, I can make this quick. Oh, since
Wait,
I was near
you, raced your
you
bicycle.
Raced your bike.
I did. That's what I was about to say. I was like, actually, I have raced my bike. Man, it was an exciting race. I just apologize. I'm sure like anybody listens, like Evan's a sandbagger and he's also on an awful bike racer, which would be an accurate statement after my PIR performance on Monday.
Is that your first PIR?
No. I did two. I actually think last year I was lying. I did two last year.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. But those were two. That's when it's on Tuesday. And it's the 3-4 field.
Yes.
I did
and
those
it's,
races.
It's all ages. And these Monday night races are masters.
Which I am now because I'm 30 plus.
Yeah,
30 I am
plus.
Probably the youngest
PR,
person in the
can
race.
Can pull that off? Yep.
But yeah, so I was more excited about actually we had a lot of junior kids who are also going to be doing triathlons this year who were jumped into road racing, which was a blast.
That's cool.
We had Austin, Maddie, Braden, Natalie. I think Julia might be there too here coming up, Julia Barna. And now tonight we got Jackson and Ella Webb who will also be there. So we got, you know, a bunch of kids and then hopefully more are going to slowly start working into it this summer too. But yeah, it was, I just love road racing. I was even telling Josh, who's probably going to jump into a couple PIRs this year. He's like, is it worth it? I'm like, oh yeah, it's always road racing is just a blast. Anytime I can do it. I do feel now like, everybody's rolling their eyes here, but I feel like the old guy jumping back into road racing because it's been so long since I did consistent. Like when I was like 18 to 25, I would like build my triathlon seasons around road racing because secretly I enjoyed road racing more than I actually did triathlons.
Right.
So I was almost racing every single week. Like I would just train through road races and run after the races. Basically it was my training weekend. But coming out here and racing now, I'm just going to do a couple 4 or 5 races in PIR, and then I don't know, I might do a 1-2-3 or two. But I have no business racing in a 1-2-3 field because you need to be able to sprint.
Well, but
I
you can
no
be you can be
I work
there
for
teammates.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and you can be in the field. No
if
problem.
We can figure out a way to check POA and keep them, you know, I will sit on the front and drag them back as much as I can so that somebody like Ian or when we have Alan Plank there can go and punch a sprint. You know, so. I will get through a 4-5 race tonight with Lance. I've already decided that he's coming with me. And
apparently, I'm coming to the race tonight.
Lance is coming with me. And then hopefully we can do some work for Ian in 1-2-3 races coming up. So, yeah. My bachelor party was this weekend. Basically, all we did was hike and mountain bike. We went up to Packwood.
Packwood.
Near
Paradise.
Near Rainier National Park.
Okay.
Beautiful area. There are forest logging roads there that go forever. You could come up with a 200-mile ride just doing like national forest roads there.
That sounds awesome, actually.
It was so nice. And it was pouring the entire time, but I didn't care. We just rode and rode and rode. And I really enjoy riding my mountain bike right now. So I'm getting more comfortable on it. And hopefully I won't die in Telluride, Colorado. So
big goal.
Yep.
You're going to die.
I'm going to die. It's going to be bad. Well, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to either feel really good in the beginning and be like, this is awesome. Or I'm going to feel bad in the beginning, which would be better because then I'll go slower.
No. What's the over under on the amount of times Evan crashes during this
That's actually a great
race?
Oh, no.
I don't know.
You might want to go under because I'm a very cautious mountain bike rider.
I hope that's you're what cautious. I
was until say. I'm having fun and then I'll try and bunny hop everything. And if I do that in Telluride, yes, I will eat crap. There will be no way I don't eat it.
Have you gone down in any of your recent training rides?
I mean, if I say that out loud, it's going to knocking on wood very hard.
Which
no,
means
I have
he
not.
Hasn't.
Uh-oh.
But my little brother, so my little brother who is at the bachelor party with me, sure. and is a champ. He's a climber. He's just a kind of a he's getting older, but he's always been an adrenaline junkie guy.
Sure.
So he loves mountain biking with us and his mountain bikes, like, you know, when he lived in Indiana, now up in Seattle, but not consistently like we do. He goes out with us and wants to have fun on this descent too, and is like bunny hopping everything, rips his right foot out and just endos over the, the bars, just gravel rash everywhere. Yep. No broken anything, just lots of gravel rash, but he was fine otherwise, but yeah.
Ouch.
It's okay. He's young. He's way tougher than me, so he's
That's
fine.
Funny.
Right on. I guess it's my turn real quick. Yeah, same thing that Lance did. We did the gravel ride, which it's our same old. We do it all the time, but I always have fun on that ride.
It's fun.
It's always a good group of people. It's a good workout.
Is that going to flip to Monday once PIR moves to Tuesday, probably?
I don't know.
Because if it does, I would like to join. So, yeah. Probably on a mountain bike.
The Monday nights don't go away, though.
Oh, PIR Monday stays?
Yeah.
This is how much I don't know about that.
It stays for like another 5 or 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And then
it does. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, we did that. And then life happened. And I did the Wednesday lunch ride, which was nice. And then life happened. And I missed Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But I'm still trying to kind of build my fitness back up. So it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. And then we went out and rode for 2.5 hours on Sunday. So
yeah.
It was good.
It was lovely.
Yeah. So. It's a pathetic, paltry 6.5 hours of riding for me, but it will get up, hopefully. Gosh, this stupid weather. It's going to be crappy weather again this week. The flogging ride's going to get rained out again.
Oh, my God. We've been joking with these kids on Thursday nights are just thinking that whenever you ride your bicycle, it rains now, I think is all that I've taught kids so far is that it's going to rain if you touch your bicycle.
There's supposed to be another strong storm system coming in later this week, and it's supposed to give us a fair amount of rain, if I'm not mistaken.
I saw Saturday, Sunday still look okay, but that could change.
I don't know. Who knows? But
we are having unprecedentedly really bad weather here right now. That is just wearing on people.
And isn't the rest of the country dealing with like sweltering heat?
We get some of that. The Southwest and the South are all dealing with record heat.
Actually,
right
would
now.
I take that? No, to be completely honest, I like the kind of 55, even if it's raining, versus sweltering heat.
Yeah.
I want neither, but I will take this over the sweltering
heat. There was a 150-mile gravel race this weekend in Texas. Right.
Locos. Wasn't that Gravel's Locos?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And it was over 100 degrees for the race.
That's so dangerous. Oh, my God.
Yikes.
No, thank you.
That's a long time to be out there.
That's a long time to be sweating.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on.
Champ Bailey, top five.
Top five.
I'm all about having fun. Champ here. In someone's kitchen. Maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off.
Takes his pants off. That's all I need to hear right there.
So, yes, Champ is here. There was a lot of stuff that happened. We've got local news. We've got regional news. We've got national news and international
news.
Where do you want?
Let's go Giro first. Giro, go.
Okay, so the Giro, we are through the first 9 stages. Cavendish has taken a first and a third.
Proving once again that I cannot correctly predict anything.
Arnaud Démare has won 2 sprint stages. Yep. He's doing very well, and it is still being led by Lopez, a
young Spanish kid from Trek.
A young Spanish kid from Trek.
He's going to lose it, though. Blockhouse
he
was.
He was about to lose it. Yesterday,
by seconds,
and he pulled it off. He's still got a 12-second lead, so pretty amazing that they're holding it off. So yes, we've still got another week and a half to go in the Giro. It has been quite exciting racing. It's been good racing to watch. So that's been kind of fun.
Kind of the it's like Landa looks like he's strong. Carapaz is strong. Bardet is. It's been cool to see Bardet come back to life because he's been gone.
Are we
for
all
so
big
long.
Fans of Bardet now?
Oh yeah,
I think we should be.
I like Bardet a lot. He's a super nice guy. You want to see that guy do good?
Yep, exactly.
This is why I liked Bernal because I always thought Bernal was like this super nice guy too.
I agree.
Fun stuff.
Okay. It's not going to be long before we're going to have our Tour de France. Like
very close.
Like whatever we do our predictions.
Five or six weeks away.
When you guys get to make ridiculous predictions that Wout van Aert will be on a podium.
Egan Bernal to win it
and
all.
And I get to make
is
it even
what you're supposed
more
to say?
Ridiculous.
Do we have a bet on that already?
I'm already going to pick guys that won't be at the actual race.
you already bet that he was going to be there.
I know.
I don't even remember what the bet was, but I think it's just on the starting
My
line.
My bet is not looking as bad as it did previously. Yeah. So right now it looks like it could be a toss-up.
Probably not going to be at the Tour, but could he go to the Vuelta?
That's a better question. I think no matter where he goes, he will not be GC leading, but I do think he's a great story. If they can shove him into their Vuelta line, they might have to play with their white cane, just make it through 2 weeks.
It'd be so good to see him on the bike. performing.
For sure. I would decently. Love to see that. Yeah, I would.
Yep.
That'd be cool.
Yep.
On national news, very somber news in the gravel world. This was quite a shock. Mariah Wilson was shot and killed last week.
Yeah.
This is the craziest story, and yeah. I have lots of questions.
Yeah. So ask away. I know as much.
You know as much as anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I know as much as anyone. So Mariah Wilson she's won every race she's entered mm-hmm. this year. Yeah. She won Belgian Waffle Ride. She won Sea Otter. She was leading the Lifetime Grand Prix Fitness. She was the favorite for this race that happened, Gravel Locos in Hico, Texas. Mm-hmm.
This is the worst story.
It is a terrible story.
It's so sad.
Yeah, it's horrible. Was she shot while she was out biking?
No. She
just shot.
Yes. So she'd flown from Colorado to Austin, Texas to stay with a friend. She was staying with a friend in a friend's house in Austin, Texas. The friend had left and had come back like 6 hours later and found her in her home, shot and killed.
Yeah. Multiple times.
She'd been shot multiple times. It was not suicide. They've ruled that out. It was homicidal. Yeah. It was a murder, and they don't. There's no other details about it.
That is just
nothing else.
Super
out there
odd.
Yet. It is super odd.
You know, so my buddy Chris Lee, who I've talked about on this podcast before, strength coach in Boulder, was Mo's strength coach actually, so knows her decently well. He was off, so we talked today a little bit, but he was off social media entirely over the last 2 days and said he has no idea what happened, but he's shell shot. She's somebody who I think a lot of people who know her personally really like. She is an incredibly well-liked person. Very well. So
you guys met her.
She's somebody we've met. Brandy and I have met her. She was at Rebecca's Private Idaho.
Yeah, and she, I know, really it's like taking pictures with Brandy. I mean, that's like an awesome person. And it just like Chris's take on was like, he has no explanation. He's like, there's no way I could see her being involved in anything that would result in this. He's like, she's a good hearted human being. This doesn't make sense.
It's unexplainable. So we're all kind of anxiously waiting for details to come out, and it may be weeks or months before something comes out. We don't know what happened yet, which is terrible.
Well, they're being pretty quiet about the whole thing. In general, when you're pretty quiet, you've got some pretty good info that you're working off of, and you don't want anything to get out.
Because the person's still at large. Okay. So that's, I think that's, you're right. I think it's since the person's still at large, they don't want to say anything.
So,
which is good. If we don't know anything for longer, good. Because if they can find the pride, I'd rather they do whatever they need.
It just sucks. I mean, what a loss. I mean, she's 26 years old.
Yeah.
Whole life so ahead young. Of her, doing fantastic things on the bike. Yeah. Gone.
Yeah. Very, so very sad. It ripped through the gravel community. They didn't even know if they should run the race.
It's a small community, too, which is the saddest part. This is a tight-knit group.
They still, her family members sent something to the race and said she would want the race to go on, so please go on and race. It just put a big, dark cloud over gravel racing right now, and it had nothing to do with being on the bike. Right. It just was a senseless, tragic loss, which is terrible.
So that was the race in Texas. Who do you know who won that?
It was some Swedish or Norwegian guy. There was a couple of Europeans that
came
over.
Came down to a sprint, right?
It did.
Okay.
And one guy got away by like 10 seconds. And like Stetna and the other favorites were like 10 seconds back.
Yeah.
Was Boswell there too?
Was who?
Was Boswell there?
Ian Boswell?
Yes.
He was. I think everyone was scared of the heat. It was 110 or something.
It was over 100 degrees. Ugh. It was hot. Everybody Norwegian was. One? And a Norwegian one or something. Hey,
Christian Blumenfeld wins in Tokyo and St. Joe. Apparently, Norwegians can handle heat super well. Oh. I don't know why.
Yes. It's suspicious.
Really, it is. Yeah. It is because when we look at that, we're looking at a lot of, and this is not just happening in gravel site. There's like Norwegians are winning in very hot conditions right now. I'm like, what are they doing? Do they just live in saunas? They just go to Norway and they're just like, you're either
sauna.
Training or in a sauna.
Who won the women's side?
It wasn't.
Can't remember.
Sarah Sturm took second. I don't remember who was first, and I'm trying to find the results, and they haven't been real. Oh, it wasn't a Norwegian. It was a Dutch rider, Jasper Okel-Leon.
Same difference.
And the race director implemented mandatory 2-minute stops at the aid stations so that people would hydrate.
That's smart. That's
so
smart.
Everybody had a mandatory.
Good on that. Good on that race. Good on that race director, because you're going to get some of the people leading that race going to make dangerous decisions. Yep.
So kind of a hard week for that.
Yuck.
Yeah. It's tough.
Local racing, we did have the Cascade Gravel Grinder, a three-day stage race out in Bend in the Sisters area. We had some teammates that were out there and did that. I did this race last year. I did not go back because I am in a suck hole right now. And so...
Champ Bailey is never in a suck hole.
If it makes you feel
Lance Hepler, that's from, a different,
from,
totally different.
From what I have heard from everybody who did race it, the race was a suck hole. So.
Was it wet? Wasn't it?
It was snowy.
It was brutal. Hey.
So three day race. The first day was an uphill gravel time trial, okay. And the last 100 meters, most people ran because of the snow.
Okay.
Second day, there were several snow sections that were also unrideable that were choke points in the race, and people had to run.
So it all comes back to biking and running.
We would have crushed
maybe
it.
A little swim.
We should have been out there. The third snow day counts
comes
as a
back
swim
to triathlon.
Yeah. Yesterday was perfect weather. It was 70 degrees and gorgeous. And,
of
and,
course it was.
But
yeah.
Much, much more Central Oregon-ish.
It's
been a weird
racing.
I mean, even for
brutal racing
for May, this is weird. It's been rainy
this
and cold.
This is very, very weird. I've just been forcing it. I was like, I'm just going to pretend like I'm going to train like usual spring. I'm going outside.
I better put a t-shirt on. It's nice out.
I jumped on my TT bike last week. I was like doing the same work I usually would, drilling rain the entire time. Like, it's warm. Just tell yourself it's warm.
The flashback pictures in your camera, whatever app you're using. And I get that all the time. I use this app called Time Hop and I look at that.
Yeah.
And it's showing me pictures of like
sometimes.
A year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And it's like all of these like beautiful bike rides and stand-up paddleboarding.
This
and
Sunday was 75 and sunny last year.
Yeah, and like I'm looking outside and going, what the hell? What the hell, Mother Nature? Come on, knock it off.
Yeah, pretty crazy. The three-day stage race was won by Stephen Mull, who is a gravel racer out of Seattle. Second was Cody Peterson, who is a Bend rider for Hutch's Bend Dental, I believe. And then third was Jonathan Baker, who is a over 40 like gravel pro guy who is also very good. The women were won by Serena Gordon. No big surprise. She's a Bend local and professional racer. Then Brenna Ree Simpson. She was Clara Hansinger's mechanic for a long time, but she races for the DNA Pro Cycling team.
It's a fast mechanic.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then third was Sarah Burke. So also, these are all local people.
Just
our own Chris Hannell won the Masters division.
Man, strong. So, right
on you, Chris.
Hannell's becoming one heck of a gravel racer. He really is a strong gravel racer.
Because there hasn't been any other road races.
Which
so
is
he's
great.
Like,
that's
gravel.
Perfect. Yeah, just I mean,
what gravel bike does he have?
Go for it.
He found something online, I think. Yep, yeah,
sure.
He found
something. Is he mountain bike? Could I convince Hannell to do a mountain bike race with me?
He has not. His daughter has a mountain bike, and they've done a little bit.
He'd be fine.
He's been using it to get some off-road experience. Yeah. I don't know if he actually has a bike or if he's been borrowing one, but he's been riding sparingly.
Yeah.
The final stage yesterday was like a 75-mile gravel race with like 6,000 feet of climbing. And it was actually, yesterday's stage was won by Carl Decker, who's 50.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I don't know how long it was to go, but partway through the race, Carl was several minutes behind a lead pack of 15. And Carl pulled a Lance.
Oh.
And knew the course really well.
Drilled the descent.
No. The top 15 people, somebody had removed a course marker, and the top 15 all went off course. Carl followed his GPS, stayed on course. The
smart
front,
man.
The front 15 had to do some bushwhacking to get back on course. Carl ended up winning by like 4 minutes.
Pays to have a Garmin.
Pays to have the download.
Pays to be smart.
Pays to have the route on your...
You guys are all on Wahoo. You got to get a Garmin, guys.
Yeah.
Garmin. Well,
I'm on Wahoo. Yeah.
There as well.
So also, let's be honest. I wouldn't be in the lead group.
Let's be honest. It's not going to save you.
Yeah.
There was also a mountain bike race out at the coast. It was a sloppy mud fest where only about 2/3 of the starters finished the course because... It was a little treacherous.
How did
Paul
yesterday.
Do?
Paul was third elite and fourth overall.
I'm not going to ride with Paul. Me and Paul were just talking about planning a mountain bike ride together. I don't want to do that. He's gonna
hurt you.
Oh, he's going to drop me so bad.
Yeah. Every time.
I'm just going to have to tell him to slow down. I'm not sure if he can slow down to as slow as I'm going.
He can't.
No. He's like, I'm sorry, this is the pace.
You need to sit on his wheel just to learn what to do.
I absolutely do. 100%.
You'll be fine on the easy parts in the hills.
Yes.
It's the descent.
It's downhill.
People
just hit it.
Oh, yeah.
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 I don't think you should stay on his wheel. I think you're going to hurt yourself.
I want to try to get good at mountain bike descending. It's fun. I just know that I'm not.
I'm not
particularly good at it.
You only get good until you've gone over the bars a dozen times.
Yes, exactly.
Here's what you do.
That's what I'm not willing to risk at this point.
We've done.
That does not help my triathlon season.
We've done weeknight mountain bike rides, and it's kind of funny. Paul did this to himself. He showed up on an old classic rigid mountain bike.
Yes.
It was like heavy.
That's
why
I
needed
to be on so that I can be safe.
No, it wasn't a full ridge. It was a hardtail because I remember it had a front fork on it. And he took it down this one
red tape.
Yep. And it's got.
He took that around red tape.
He's got.
Yep. Oh my God.
You know, it's got jumps and doubles and berms and the whole thing. And he sent it over one and sent it so hard that it blew out the shock. Paul on that bike and I'm riding a full suspension, I still can't keep up with him. He's that good. He's that talented.
I will not.
Yep. And he's not scared of going. He's not scared of going down.
No.
Like
I will
we
also
are.
Not no. be going down be. Red tape with him. So
no. stick to the.
I need a wide force access.
Don't
road.
Go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the. What is it? How's the song go?
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Stick to the something something you're used to.
Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. We're going with that late 90s look right now.
This is
late 90s alternative.
This applies to your mountain biking career.
It does.
The song applies, okay?
I'm going to sing that in my head while I'm going downhill.
Why are you doing red tape?
I love this song.
Matt would be so proud of me.
I'm a Radiohead.
Shout out to Terry Hamness, who won the 50 division. Good for him.
He's having a year.
Terry.
He's having a year.
Super happy for him. A lot of people didn't show up because it was nasty.
It's nasty. Yeah.
It wasn't raining during the race, but the trail conditions were
crap.
Yep.
They were not good.
We deserve an awesome summer.
Yeah. That's enough. Champ out. I'm talking about the
Champ Bailey out.
Watch it go from what we have right now to remember last summer when it was like
110. That's what I'm terrified of.
2 weeks
I just
straight.
Don't want it. I don't want to have. I don't even. If it's hot, it's fine.
Take
I don't want
this.
The,
I will take this over the 110. I don't care if it's this for another month. I do
I'm
not want to.
I'm scared of like a fire Check season with smoke. Yeah. That's what I'm scared
yeah.
of.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Blah.
That's hot.
Guess what, boys?
What about all the triathlon news?
That's hot. Too soon. Hot. Forest fire talk and then straight into hot seat.
Hot seat.
That was planned.
That's true.
Where's the rewind button?
There isn't one.
Was there any triathlon news? Did you guys have news?
There was a race in LA. We can skip it.
The Herbalife 100 or LA Olympic distance triathlon.
Next year,
I'm doing so many pro Olympic races next year. Yeah, I'm doing Olympic distance a lot next year.
That's awesome.
That's 73, man.
I think you'll have fun.
Olympic at 73. That's all I do now.
Are you doing 73? Are you doing Olympic racing? Are you doing mountain bike racing? Are you doing road racing? Are you doing
cat
cross
country?
Racing?
I'm doing cross country running. I'm doing the Stumptown series actually, Matt. I'm jumping into that this year. The AKs.
That's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah. What about master swimming? Do you qualify for master swimming yet?
I need to do master swimming, but I'll tell you.
Master swimming is where you draw the line.
I need to draw the line somewhere. I need to do that, but let's be. I am more in a mountain bike race comfortable than I would be. In a master swimming race.
Hot seat.
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
I got one.
Go. Okay.
There was an Omnium, a road race Omnium that happened down in the Eugene, Oregon area this weekend. Austin went.
Yeah, he went down there.
We had some teammates that were down there. Chris Surratt went.
Nice.
It was very poorly attended.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And so I was sent this question by a listener.
That was a tough weekend for it to be on. Just crowded bike racing weekend.
There was a mountain bike race.
Gravel race.
And there was a gravel race that
competed
with it. Eric Mills, he sent me this question. I don't know. He found me on Instagram and then just he messaged, DM'd me on
the gram.
Gotcha.
He slid into your DMs.
It's just one of Lance's hundreds of DMs that he gets. And this one popped out for him.
Almost 1,000 followers. How about that?
Seriously?
On Instagram.
Okay. So
that little verified little check mark.
Get you on the check mark.
Nobody. This is from Eric Mills. I miss the heyday of bike racing in Obra, and looking to the recent participation of the races in Eugene, the Chili Crow Time Trials, and the Rally in the Valley Omnium. What do you think is keeping Portlanders at home instead of making the trip to Eugene? We're trying to do our part down here to keep bike racing alive in Oregon. What do you think we're missing?
Weather.
Eugene is about a two-hour drive from the Portland area. Mm-hmm.
It's not the drive. It's the weather.
I don't think it's the drive.
People are not going to... If there's a chance of rain, people are not going to show up and do a time trial.
Is that what you think?
That's what I think.
I agree with that.
Hmm.
I do think this is a little bit of carryover from the pandemic, where I think people became very okay with not going to things.
Yep.
And I think that we need some time for people to realize that, hey, if you want to be a part of a community, that means showing up. So if we want to keep road racing alive, they're going to go away. This is why I don't, you know, we can get into, everybody's going to have an excuse all the time. So it's like, it's until people realize, like, no, me going to this is actually important for the community at large. Until that happens, this pandemic attitude is going to continue, and it's going to kill road racing.
Well, has it already killed road racing? How many road races are on the Uber calendar?
That's a great question, JG.
There's one this Saturday, Sunday.
Seriously? Isn't there only like, right? Isn't there like two three. Total?
No, yeah. Hold on. There's the Banana Belt.
Banana Belt, which is this Sunday.
Okay. We've got Baker City Cycling Classic.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we've got
What's the weekend that Baker City is?
It's your wedding.
Okay, so I can't make that.
You probably can't make that.
You're
sneaking in.
There's Independence the weekend before that.
That's a Washington State WSBA race.
Oh, my bad.
And
okay,
then the last one is going to be Kings Valley, which was supposed to be in April, but then they moved it to August, and supposedly it's the state championship road race, but who knows if it's actually going to go off or not.
So two or three.
Two to three.
Yeah. It's not an insane amount of races.
No, that is an amazingly low amount of races.
Now, there are some crits on the schedule, but like your traditional
road races.
Yeah, that there's not much to.
So that can't be. I can't blame that on the rain. So I think something else is going on too. Maybe to Evan's point of pandemic.
Well, it's also coming down to Obra. I mean, I don't know how openly can we speak on this.
More race directors.
Yeah. Well, it's like
event promoters.
The
not
cost
wanting to put
of
on.
Putting on a road race is significantly higher than putting on a gravel race, just because you have to shut down roads and have flaggers and have.
I also don't
presence.
Like to blame the race directors because it's like
sure. No. It's not their fault.
I know. I'm just saying because I agree with you.
I think you and I could be race promoters and put on a race and put on the
Oprah's
calendar.
It's Oprah's job to make an environment where a race director can consistently put on races comfortably, and clearly Oprah's not doing a good job of that. I'm not in on the here, but but Matt and I can speak from triathlon. Triathlon right now, coming out of the pandemic, is doing its darndest. I mean, it really is.
I think it looks good.
And the duathlon, the Spring Classic, had great show out.
Real quick here, though.
Yeah.
That's why racing putting that on. That's why racing.
It's all why.
USA Triathlon.
Well, then Blair, too. You know, Blair's putting on good races here.
Blair puts on good races.
Best in the West.
Well, and Ironman's doing okay.
Yeah. Ironman's turned a lot of good races.
Those promoters are the ones that are doing all the work. They're doing the legwork and getting the word out there.
Yeah. It's the Carissas of the world. Yeah.
So is USA Triathlon doing anything to promote that?
USA Triathlon actually has. So this is just from a buddy of mine from Colorado who was talking about this. USA Triathlon is indirectly also like killing some of these races because they're charging the same amount for their insurance and not realizing that the environment has changed and trying to help.
Yeah.
Mm. So is USA Cycling probably doing that too? My guess is yeah.
Possibly,
I mean, speaking outside of Oprah, I think that also the reason nationally road racing is dying is probably because USAC is like, we still need to make money, and they're not realizing that, like, dude, if you
should be helping.
You need to be helped. Like right now, who cares what your bottom line is? Nobody's feeling bad about you. You need to keep this alive right now.
Now, USA Triathlon is doing some cool stuff, though. I mean, like just the grants that they're putting out there for our team that's benefiting directly from that, from the monies that are coming in for us to help put juniors into the race.
And they've had a lot of money allocated towards that coming out of the pandemic. Yeah. I was hearing them talk about that they're pushing a lot of that money now because they realize they need people to be getting into triathlon. So they're like, we're going to spend on that, which is good on them. Good.
So they're doing that, but you know, USA Cycling's not doing anything like that. You know, Oprah's not doing anything like that. I think in this juncture, I think that all of the race organizations and the promoters need to kind of like get a dry erase board, wipe it clean, and start over with a whole new, like, how are we going to do this?
Can they just leave Oprah? I mean, can everybody just be like, we're just going to go like USAC or we're...
Oh, they can, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that it's expensive to pay for your own insurance. I get that.
It's not that much more. It really is not that much
then
more.
Then what does Oprah give them? This is a question.
Exposure? Format to a calendar to list races on.
Well, they're doing that poorly because if that stage race just had very few showing up, I'd be mad if I was that race director at Oprah.
So was that...
You're my marketer.
Was that an Oprah thing or was that a weather thing?
Yeah.
Or is it because it is 2 hours away from...
You know, it's sometimes you have to ask your question too. Is Oprah a race promoter or are they just a conduit to getting insurance? Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I don't know.
I think that they think of themselves as more than an insurance group.
And I would agree with you, but if they're going to think of themselves that way, I think that they need to do more. They need to do more to bring the community together. They need to do more to help the race promoters out. You know, you've got the likes of like WSBA that's up there forward thinking about like, how can we help mitigate the costs that go into putting on a road race so that the promoter can be successful so that they will put the race on again next year? I mean, things like flaggers and porta potties, you'd be amazed. Those two stupid things,
so much cost.
How much they
so
cost.
Many costs.
The Michael Myers time trial that we put on, I think we spent like $700 on two porta potties. $700.
You only had two porta potties?
There was a third one there, so we kind of like capitalized on the fact that there was already,
you know, already one there.
I mean, if that cost keeps on going up, pretty soon Lance is going to have to pull up his RV. We're going to have to be like, use Lance's bathroom in there. Don't worry.
I don't have a bathroom in there.
He has two buckets.
No, there's a bucket. We'll make it work.
I got a shovel and a bush.
So we'll make it work.
Just pull up the RV to block and then just be like, don't worry, there's a hole out back.
So for flaggers, you know how much those Yahoos are charging per hour?
What?
$45 an hour. Nope. 100%. That's what we paid.
$45 an hour.
And if you're putting on a road race, it's not uncommon to have like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 flaggers depending upon where you're at.
I missed a turn in a race once because a flagger was sitting in a chair. Are you kidding me?
Do the math at how fast that adds up. And then you've got to add into that. You've got your insurance. You've got to add into that the permits that you need to get.
The costs are crazy.
And the cities are all like, the bigger the municipality, the bigger the cost on all that's going to be. And it just keeps.
Well, and then like David Rue was talking about that downtown crit. Didn't they charge him for the parking meter loss?
Correct.
Which is insane because they're not open on the, like, those parking meters you can't even pay on the weekend.
Yeah.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, that's
crazy. Municipalities just putting their hands in your pocket. Yep. Their hands in your pocket. Yep. Trying to.
Yeah. And I think that we've beat this dead horse before on like, the cities don't support this, and that's ridiculous. Shame on the cities. But we know that's politics and they're going to be awful people because that's, they're really good at being awful people. So.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that are problematic, and I think that so many things have happened, and we're so far down the road. It's just like you can't go back and undo these things. You kind of need to just like wipe the board clean. You need to wipe the slate clean, start over, and talk about like what can we do to help each other out. And WSBA is kind of doing some of that stuff. Yeah. I think Ober needs to do the same. You guys have all heard me go off on this so many times. I don't want to do that right now, but there's a lot of things that they could definitely do to help the race promoters out. And so interesting.
Agreed.
Does that answer Eric was his name? Question.
Eric Mills. Probably not.
Probably not.
Sorry, Eric.
I don't think we did a good job. We don't have to do a good job on the hot seat questions, do we?
No. Yeah. Are we getting graded on this?
No pressure. I think this is a C.
We just lost the listener.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. None of us went to this race. Like, there's a time trial and there's a crit. Yeah. Those are probably could've been cool. Some things. I was just talking about this to Lance. Crit racing should be my jam. I mean, let's be honest. That should be something that I should be doing, but I'm a nervous Nelly when it comes to everything now because my stupid shoulder. And the last thing I want to do is go down in a crit because that happens all the time. And then all of a sudden my shoulder's busting up. And not only am I not riding again, but when your doctor's last words were, last time you saw him, like, there's a good chance that if you hurt this again, you're going to have a shoulder replacement surgery. I'm like, dude, I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
One doc's opinion, though.
But let's just put all that aside. Let's pretend like that didn't happen. Why did none of us go down there? Matt Sertoon, Evan was bachelor partying, and Lance was in a hole.
Granted, don't get me wrong. I would not be above just making my bachelor party at a bike race, to be honest.
That's true.
Here was the other reason. I didn't know that was even going on.
Because you don't look at the Ober calendar.
I get the emails from them.
That's not the same thing as looking at the Ober calendar. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but also
is Obra irrelevant?
But if I'm a marketer, I shouldn't have to like go to a link to a calendar. It should be popping up on my feeds.
You know what?
I follow them on everything, like on Instagram, Facebook, and I'm on their email list.
The promoter and Obra need to do a better job of building this stuff. They need to advertise it better. They need to have video. They need to have pictures. They need to have stuff out there.
Have you guys seen? Okay,
I'm pretty sure I got an email.
How about this?
Did you?
From Obra.
Here's my next question. Post race, have you guys seen a ton of photos that make you want to do this thing next year?
No.
I didn't know it happened until Lance told me.
You haven't seen anything?
I haven't seen any.
Lance, have you seen any? Like,
granted,
I want to do this.
I was out of cell service on Saturday and Sunday, Monday. So I'm probably not a good example of this.
I've seen some, but like on Instagram or on Facebook.
And they were posted by the people who were there, not the event organizer, correct?
I think I follow Twilight Operations, who is a race promoter.
Right.
And I think they posted some pictures.
Okay.
Anyone else? Did it look like, was it like, oh, I got to do this next
year? From the
look
start,
how epic this looks.
Now from the starting like, why was nobody spring there? If classic duathlon, how go. Many pictures hit your feed?
How many people are talking right now?
Yeah. from the spring classic duathlon, from why, let's compare it to why. How many of those pictures hit your feed?
Oh, a lot.
Like for a week, right?
Probably 100 photos total.
Yeah. Like it was all over my feed.
Through my feed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, I've always
just a parent promoter. Yeah.
You got to celebrate the people that come out there all the way down to like the, you know, the slowest category when the most unexperienced person.
Absolutely.
And you got to tell a story. You got to make that human connection. And I just don't think that anybody around here does a really good job of that in the cycling world. They're maybe a little bit on the gravel side of things. And, you know,
only Carissa,
you know, I think gravel's doing a good job. Yeah. Carissa's
you know, who's doing a good job right now.
Ultra running does a great job. At
ultra
this.
Running does a good job.
I keep track of ultra running and I have never done an ultra run before.
Me too. I'm the same way. I'm like, ooh.
I was like, Ryan's so killing good. It right now. Ryan Cotton. I'm like, oh man, these are exciting.
Somebody who's doing a good job right now. He was just here with us last week, Scott Schultz.
Yep.
He's making the rounds. So he's coming on our podcast. He was on Quap Face 2's little thing last week and having fun doing that. He's doing social media stuff. He's out there talking and he's laying a really good foundation.
And this is probably why those mountain bike and gravel races did better this last weekend in general. I think that just that world is doing a better job right now of doing exactly what you're talking about.
Mike Ripley does a very good job of this as well. He posts up a lot of great video, commentary, pictures, and his events do extremely well. So we need to take a page out of the book of those two gentlemen, and you need to apply that to the different disciplines and the different races around.
How do you feel like we did on the time trial? Because that was our baby. I mean, your baby, not mine.
We did okay. I don't think feel it was like fantastic. We really... I was doing a lot of paid posts and sponsored posts and stuff like that, and we were putting the word out there. And you know, it's an early season trial or an early season TT. Yeah, the weather was pretty bad.
You feel like your feed was full of, you know, time trial pictures or anything like that? Maybe we should do more.
Oh, we could definitely do more. Always do more.
Mine was, but I had probably a biased feed towards that. So
yeah, we all have. We would have a biased feed towards that.
It was also like I knew that was happening for a long time before, so that was very much on my calendar.
Our numbers were not fantastic by any means at all, and I think that we could learn from that. I think that we could do a better job as well. Just like
I'm just thinking, you know, after the race, are people looking at that and saying, "I'm going to do that next year"?
That's the biggest thing.
I don't know, and I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, and here's another thing that kind of. We'll say kind of rubbed me the wrong way, just a little bit. Like Oprah's got the attention of a lot of these people. It supposedly has this giant, massive email system. They've got their social media. They've got all the things. And one of the things was like, hey, we asked them, like, would you guys be opposed to sending out one more email like the day before, letting people know that it's chip timed, it's day of registration, the weather's looking like it's going to be good. We're still looking to fill a bunch of spots. Help us promote it a little bit more. No, sorry, we're not going to send that out. We don't want to make people upset that they're going to receive another email from us and have them unsubscribe from our list. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, they sent out a week. I'd be so angry at that.
They sent out an email like a week prior, and that was it. And that was all they were willing to do for us. And I just don't necessarily agree with that. I think that when you're getting down to crunch time and there's some information that you want to get put out there, like we were the first organization to put on a time trial with race chip timing.
Yep.
We were, you know, doing a bunch of other stuff, trying to raise money. We were giving away a ton of prizes, and we were trying to make it really fun. And that kind of fell on deaf ears. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to do it because they didn't want to alienate their list of people who are supposedly subscribed to want to know about bike racing stuff. So anyway,
I'll tell you what, for a big email list, that's not a lot of people showing up to races. So I wouldn't be as concerned as how big my email list is.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the email list is falling on deaf ears.
That would be
my guess.
A lot of Hotmail accounts on there.
Lance, who was that? One more time, who asked the question?
Eric Mills.
Eric Mills.
Thank you, Eric.
Hot, you gotta listen naked.
That was so hot, you gotta listen naked. Good question, Eric.
Taking away weeks for that one.
Awesome. All right. Well, that was a good question. That could be a whole. Maybe that could be a whole podcast topic, but
I don't know.
Get in trouble. I know. We went for a long time.
I've got a super short yes or no one.
Okay.
Egan Bernal start in the Tour de France of 2022?
I think we got like a bottle of wine bet on this or something.
Go, Matt. Yeah,
I'm going to stick with what I said before, which is no.
Jake.
No.
Lance.
I'm going to say whatever the opposite of what you're going to say, Evan. So
I'm gonna say yes.
So no.
So it is one versus three. Now, I want to be very, very clear. If I win, when I win this bet, I would like you all to get me a nice bottle of wine. I'm talking the $8 to $12 range.
Yes, we're like in on that. If Egan Bernal starts, I am buying you a bottle of wine.
That eye level shelf type stuff. Okay?
Oh, yeah. The good stuff.
I want $9.75 for that Merlot.
Whoa.
Merlot.
Okay? All right. pushing it to the limit. $9.75?
Hey.
We'll see.
This is going over my head. Is that not much for a bottle of wine?
It is not much. It's $2. Lance, I'd like a cup of coffee, too.
Yeah, you can... I think maybe
Lance, I would just take energy drinks if you want to.
Probably like normal, maybe for a bottle of wine, might be like $14 at the grocery store when you're just grabbing some wine. Like not great wine.
Okay.
Like,
if you close your eyes and picks, you'd probably get a $14 bottle of wine.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So yes, we'll get you a bottle of wine at a reasonable price.
Nice.
More importantly,
yes,
and more realistically, does he start the Vuelta? And we talked about that.
I think he will start the Vuelta.
Okay, what about you, Lance?
Yes.
I think there's more of a chance he'll start that.
That's not what we asked you. It's yes or no question.
No.
No. Oh,
that's what I was going to say, too. No.
No. I'm going to jump on this one.
Yes, 50-50.
Vuelta bound.
Yeah.
He's got...
It'd be great. I would love for him. I mean, I track him daily.
He's... Yeah. I mean, he. Let me put it this way. If his body is even moderately capable of doing it, this kid is going to push to make it happen. Hmm. He likes racing his bicycle a lot.
Laying down top. What's hot.
Boom.
That was hot.
Was that
hot question? All right. I got another one that kind of falls on the same mind, the same thought process here. Mm-hmm. Tour de France winners. However, this is not like just a Tour de France, because we're going to have a whole podcast about that.
Yeah.
Tour de France winners, wrong answers only.
Okay. Yes. Love this.
Egon wrong Bernal. Answers.
Okay.
That was my answer.
Anyone else?
Can I say Mark Cavendish for the group?
Cavendish, yes. Well, just Cavendish is good enough.
Only because I love how he's doing the Giro and nobody wants to try to do the Giro tour double. Roman Bardet.
Roman Bardet.
Roman Bardet.
Is he doing the double?
I probably not.
He probably would feel pressure to do it.
Here's a big outsider I'd love to see happen. Thibaut Pinot. I'd love to see Pinot somehow.
That's
come
a
back.
Fun one for wrong answers only, also. Because he's had such bad luck.
He's had the worst luck of any cyclist in this era.
It's good.
The
LZ is hot. Repeat. The LZ is hot.
he's got him lined up. He's like,
I don't know.
Come on. Like question.
He's got like 400.
All right.
Jake, go.
This is the question right here.
Is that bacon?
It's popping. What's popping?
Is that all actual right. audio?
Yeah. Hey, all right. So there is a lot of stuff going on and out there. There's bike teams that are out there racing, and people are getting like a little secret, like, you know, photos of different like tech that might be coming out, that might be new stuff that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. What's something out there that you're super curious about, or that you've seen that you might want to, I don't know, add to your own bike? Or just it doesn't even have to necessarily be with the bike. It could be anything in the cycling.
I've got some cool stuff.
Go for it.
Okay, so there's this like rear hub that basically doubles your gearing, so you can eliminate your front derailleur.
One that I saw too.
That looks amazing, and it's all built into the hub. And so you hit this like switch, and I think it's like Bluetooth or something. Like it like connects wirelessly to the hub, and it switches this thing, and it basically is doubling your gearing. Super cool. It's very interesting.
Relatively lightweight too, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it was super expensive, I'm hearing.
I'm sure.
Possibly.
I'm sure.
That could be very interesting. And the fact that they're coming up with any reason that they can to get rid of front derailleurs and switch people over to one by and make certain bikes obsolete so they could sell more bikes, I think that you might even see that sooner than later.
I mean, think about it. You're talking like 24 different gears without a front derailleur. Like that would be
That's pretty
crazy.
Cool.
Yeah. It'd be cool.
But I do think that 12 gears is pretty solid on a
12 gears. 12 gears is great.
Except 14's better. And then 18's better.
14's better.
24's
but then
better.
Doubling all of those things is just super interesting. I think
infinite
that's,
gears.
Well, if it doubles, you could have 11 and not have to, and not be such a big jump for your chain. And
you could take your one by time trial bike out on your favorite 22% gravel mountain bike trail.
Yes, correct.
You can drop weight too if you're figure out whatever that golden ratio is, and like if you can go from 12 down to like 7, and you've got that internal hub thing.
Yeah. Okay, so now if you kept your front derailleur, could have 44.
Oh wow,
44 gears.
You
How
know,
interesting is that?
True.
That's interesting.
Every time I bet on
it's
a
not
ride,
not that big of a deal
hit,
to have a front derailleur.
And
we've
hit
all
Lake
got them.
Road. Every single time I've hit Lake Road on my ride home, I'm like, you know what I need? 43 more gears than the one that I have
I
right
like,
now.
I feel like if you had that, it's really only going to help you on like descents where you're going straight down a cliff.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it would be the other direction.
Or straight up the cliff maybe, but you might run out of gear. So we probably need another iteration on top of that.
Yeah, well, I have to think about that.
What about just like getting those little tweeners? Like you get the, like, oh, I'm mashing just a little bit too much, or I'm spinning a little bit too much. Maybe it tightens up the gear ratio so the jumps are just that much more precise.
I mean, I'm sure this would be efficient. Like if we're talking like watt loss over a 40K, if you're like hitting some hills, I'm sure there's benefit to this. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not sure if my ability to think through that process when my heart rate's at 175 would be even worth that amount of gearing. In my head, I would just be like, mash the gear, mash it right now.
I really think it's going to be the same thing as a front derailleur. Like you hit a switch and your front derailleur changes, right? Yeah. I mean, how much thinking is
there
of that?
Another 12 gears of your disposal right there.
What if you programmed in what you wanted your cadence and your power to be?
That's where this gets cool.
And then you just ride and it does everything for you.
Automatically shifts. Yep.
Like an ERG mode for your bicycle would be pretty stinking
awesome.
It would
be very awesome, actually.
Or automatic transmission on any cars that we've seen in the past 20 years. I mean, this is kind of what cars do, right? Like you don't think about shifting. It just does it for you.
That's the direction I think everything's going. Yeah.
Maybe.
Crazy.
I don't know. People like control.
What's some other tech, boys?
All right, Matt's. I got another one.
Go ahead.
Oh.
I can do this all day.
You can steal them.
I don't want to steal anyone's.
I was just going to make fun of a bike, so go ahead.
There's this air pressure thing that's also hub-based that they were talking about doing at... Paris-Roubaix.
The team ended up not
They ended up not it. Doing it, yes. Which I was actually disappointed in. But that was one of the reasons that I got the paid for Flow bikes, and then they didn't have the race. It was just a big mess. But in the hub, there's this pressurized thing, and you can lower the pressure of your tires while you're racing and raise the pressure of your tires while racing.
So
Paris-Roubaix, right?
Yeah.
The first
that would be
I don't
so,
remember if it's like 60 kilometers of racing
that
is
would
all
be
road.
Almost
you could ride
if a team had that and other teams didn't have that.
Right. That's what they said it was completely legal. They could this team could have used it.
They got clearance to use it, and ultimately
they decided not to use it for the race.
Give the UCI 2 months and that'll be the next. I mean, they've already banned the super tug.
Well, the UCI allowed it.
They looked
at
it.
Yeah. They looked at it and said, yeah, you can use this. And but so, I don't know what the reason why. I don't remember what the reason was why they didn't use
nuts,
it.
Because that'd be such a huge advantage.
Right? So Paris-Roubaix, everyone's rolling around on like 40, 30, 40 PSI.
Yeah.
You could go 80 for the first whatever. Isn't it like road for first 60
kilometers? There's a lot of road
kilometers.
No, but there's like 18 sectors of pave.
You're just switching back and forth.
So you could switch back and forth.
I know. I mean, that
unless
to me,
you forgot. Could you imagine you forgot and all of a sudden you hit the Force of Arenberg at 80 PSI?
And then, I mean, you'll remember immediately. But that to me, that's like the coolest tech. I mean, it's just neat. And I think that would be really interesting. I mean, I guess both of those things that I mentioned are things that I'd be extremely excited about seeing
now,
on the bike.
Now, cycling purist here, how angry do old Belgian people get about the potential that you wouldn't even have to think about the gearing that you choose or the PSI that you're using? Let's say this all becomes automated.
It's all automated. Yeah. They're like, oh,
the bike just like,
we know the course. Pave's coming up here.
You don't even have to switch. It just becomes this thing where it's like, oh, on this course, there's Pave coming up here. Let me decrease this for you because of this app. So like, I mean, what if that becomes, how
I love
many,
that idea.
I mean, they got already splits being yelled into their ears, which old Belgians already hate.
Does this ruin the race?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. To me, it kind of does.
No, it doesn't.
It kind of does a little bit.
Okay, if people,
I'll be the old.
You know what might ruin the race is if people stop. Like, if there are no bike problems, if people roll through every pave section, there's no issues.
Right.
Then it's like,
okay.
There should be
bike problems make the race, and they do in Paris-Roubaix. Definitely,
that is a gnarl. Some of those things, I don't even know how they ride over those things.
It's amazing.
Like, they're nasty.
Yeah, it's not.
I would want a mountain bike.
No joke. It's not even comfortable on a mountain bike.
No.
It's just gross.
The fact that these guys ride over that on road bikes just blows my mind every year. But yeah.
That's pretty cool. Evan, you said you have one. Go for it.
Yes, I do. All right. Matt, you and I are the only two that are going to care about this. Will Lionel Sanders ever win a full Ironman World Championship?
Is this a hot seat question or is this like a tech answer for Jake's thing? You already had a hot seat question.
Lionel Sanders isn't a bit of tech. This is a hot seat question.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, all right.
We're switching.
We're moving on.
Oh, wait. I thought you said question to me, not...
No, we were going around the table to talk about tech, but...
Oh, for me. Well, that's a mute point. My tech. I need a new cassette on my mountain bike. Anybody got suggestions?
Good luck.
I need
a 51.
Probably hard to find.
I need a 51. What's the coolest 51 out there?
They don't make a 51. It's a 52 or a 50.
I thought it was a 51.
No.
Okay, 52. So I need whatever the most teeth I can get.
There's a 52.
There's a 52. You'll
find a 52 and bust a tooth off.
Yeah. Apparently, Telluride has a 3-mile climb that averages. This is the average, not the max grade. The average is 20%.
What?
It averages 20%
for
3 miles.
How far is it? 3 miles.
3 miles. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I need a 52. That
doesn't, those numbers don't add up,
have
do they?
Segments.
This is also coming from people that live in Colorado. And if you ever talk to somebody who like rides bikes in Colorado, this was our whole joke over the weekend with Kit, who you've all met, Kit.
Yep.
Anytime we ever said like, man, this is a good view, we're like, but I'll tell you what, it's definitely nothing like Colorado. In Colorado, you got at least 12 mountains that look 20 times better than this, and our roads are all so much harder. That's just the thing at Colorado. You know, it's like everything in Colorado is harder. But I actually think that was the actual stat on this climb. I need to look up the actual Strava file.
You're going to have to report back after that race. Hopefully you'll be alive.
I think that climb is the reason that people say Telluride is way harder than Leadville, which is why I'm probably going to die on this. So,
yep. Again,
so I need
the
a 52.
How many times Evan crashes?
So I need a 52. Where do I get a 52 and what's the best
you
one?
You just have to, good luck is what I'm saying.
They're stuff, equipment right now.
Actually getting mountain bike cassettes are very difficult right now. You're going to overpay for one. You're going to have to find one online somewhere, and you're going to overpay for it.
Jake, can I get a mountain bike cassette?
You can't find him either.
Is it 10 or 11 speed?
I'll look it up tonight and text you.
I think it's
11.
I might have one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would overpay for it.
Yeah. I'll check before we leave, and I'll let you know what I have.
That's someone right now calling to buy that.
It's gone.
They heard.
Hey, do you have
they
a 50
already
shirt?
Heard
yeah.
it. Dang it. Sorry, Evan.
I call dibs right now. Dibs has been called.
Before we talk about this whole Lionel Sanders thing, Lance, did you have any tech that you wanted to...
I'm excited about anything that is potentially coming out with integrated cameras.
Yes.
This podcast comes out on...
Wednesday.
Yep. So stuff with integrated cameras could be very cool.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Matt, when is the Varia coming out with its new camera?
No, we didn't say that.
You guys didn't say
no
that.
One knows.
We didn't say the Varia word.
We didn't say that. So what other headsets are you talking about? That does Wahoo have one? Lance?
Cyclique.
That whole
there is a Cyclique. There's a Cyclique camera thing. It would be cool if Garmin did something similar.
What is Cyclique? Cool is that a computer?
Cyclique does this like rear camera with a light on the back.
No
gotcha.
Radar.
Gotcha. So, yeah. Okay.
What about, do you guys need, God knows how much these things cost, a fairing, a little aerodynamic fairing that goes over your jockey wheels, your pulley wheels on your
Yeah, you do.
Do you guys
need
that in your life?
You need it. All triathletes need that.
I could use that.
Have you seen those popping up?
I have not
up?
Seen this now.
Yeah.
Well, they just got released at the... I think they talked about them in Ironman St. George.
Oh, they did. I do remember you talking about
it. It's basically a fairing for your derailleur hanger.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
Is that like a 2-watt difference? What's the deal?
Dude, probably with how fast five. These guys are going, okay. though, those 2 watts are important.
Over 112 miles, how much time 112? Does 2 watts save you?
Yeah, a decent amount. You're probably talking a minute for two watts.
Probably not, but it's probably.
Seconds. Even if it was like 20 or 30 seconds.
It's probably in difference. That. It's probably somewhere between, you know,
why,
10 and...
Why Lionel Sanders had to sprint down Braden Curry. I think he would have taken 30 seconds on aero advantage.
Yeah, so and that and dropper posts on road bikes.
Dropper posts on road bikes would be... Yeah. Well, they're doing it, right? Dropper posts on road bikes? It's happening?
It's Well, it's not mainstream yet. It's not something that the manufacturers are releasing.
It happened
but
in Milan San Remo.
Will it be at the Tour?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
You've got these bikes that are already so stupid.
Be riding it no matter what.
They're so light that they're having to put weight into them so that they make the UCI minimum.
Which is 17 pounds?
Now you can go,
what is it, 16?
No, it's like 14.
No, it's like 14 and
a half. Oh, is it that? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got
really?
Bikes.
That light? I thought it was like 16 or 17.
We've had bikes in the lab here that weigh 11 pounds. And so to throw a dropper post in there, you'd still be underneath the UCI legal limit.
Then you get some 14. Disc. Then you throw the disc brakes on there. That adds weight.
14 pounds
honest.
Is so light, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, does the bike really need to be that much lighter than 14 pounds?
Well, that's just the limit. They'll be on the limit.
What is like right? I mean, what's the lightest bike you've heard of?
11 pounds.
11, well, yeah.
We had one.
It was like,
weighed 11 pounds.
Probably like the Trekamonda thing. So, yeah.
I mean, Guymon's bike probably weighed close to that. I mean, he did everything to try and make it. Yeah.
He was probably
10 pounds, I bet.
Yeah.
You can that was a very light bike. I remember we did the video on that.
You can chop some weight.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So hot.
So hot. Okay, Lionel Sanders.
Yes.
No, he's not going to win world championship.
Jake, I know you actually watched World Championship, or at least some of it.
Lionel Sanders is going to win.
Full Ironman?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Sure. Yes.
There you go. Jake says yes. Lance?
No.
No.
Didn't he take second?
Norwegian.
No, he won.
He got second place.
But by how much?
It was enough of a gap. 5 minutes.
Yeah, 4 or 5 minutes.
One Norwegian didn't even race.
How old is he?
This is true. He is, that's a great question. 32? 33? Three. I think he's 33.
Okay, that sounds right.
What is he missing in his whole regimen? Does he have
swimming?
Swimming, but his swimming is getting better. He's
his swim coach used to coach yours truly.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Aqua Bears man.
The Aqua Bears. Yep. So he was the coach at Lackamas Swimming Sport. Justin Slade, do you remember him?
I remember that name.
Do you?
Okay. So he is like the most famous swim coach in triathlon right now because he coaches the Aura Valley. Crew right now. Yeah, the Swim Bears Club.
The guys in Tucson.
Yeah.
So he moved from Lackamas.
Heather Jackson.
And then started his own pool in Tucson.
Yeah.
And all the pros use him for some reason. Totally random.
Here's the reason that I actually don't think it's the swim for him. The only reason I think that is his gap now from where he's at to that front group where it matters is too big. He'll never bridge that in his career. It's too much.
That bridge is just not going to happen. If he was a great swimmer, mm-hmm. he probably would have had a world championship by now. Title.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great.
Can you surgically implant webbing in your hands and your feet? Is that legal?
But the funny thing is, your own skin.
Like,
there's like the more and more I'm in triathlon, I even meet these guys that, I mean, like Henry Schoeman's a good example. I know you guys don't know him, but like Henry Schoeman is like the same exact build and size as Lionel, basically, mm-hmm. and is an amazingly fast swimmer. I think it's just like if you didn't do it really fast when you were young, bridging to that elite level is darn near impossible. Not completely impossible. But basically impossible.
It's pretty much impossible.
Yeah. You're just not going to do it. There's things you learn at very young ages and how to move in the water that you can't even describe to people if you didn't do it at those ages.
Well, I mean, I get it. I understand. Yeah. I mean, it's like bike handling is kind of like
it
that.
Is to some extent.
But you can still like I'll never be like Paul because
you can get
Paul
really
grew up
close.
Like doing acrobatics and gymnastics and bike jumping and all the crazy things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like he takes that now into his early 20s and he's like one of those guys that you just can't ride
just
a bike like
tear
Paul.
It up. Yeah.
And I could go out there and practice for days and days and days and it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Is it the same concept?
Same idea.
Similar, but probably more extreme with swimming.
Really?
Yeah, because swimming is such a repetitive motion too. And there's really specific motor patterns that are learned by kids in the water. This coach we're talking about is really big on like feel of the water. He's always talking about like feel, like you got to feel your grab. You got to feel your grab. That's all very subcortical, subconscious stuff. Mm. And if you do that at young ages, it's kind of like kids who learn how to play soccer. Throwing a baseball is a good example.
Yeah.
Imagine, so like every great pitcher ever started young.
Yeah.
There's nobody who's ever like picked up a baseball at 22 and been like, dang, I'm pretty good at throwing this thing. No, you're not. You're not going to be good if you just start throwing a baseball at 22. That motor pattern is built over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. It's not like running or even biking, which is like a motor pattern you can just like, you know, like
you can just
running.
Do.
Running is ingrained. So it's swimming and throwing a baseball are not human patterns. Those are developed patterns.
So he sucks at swimming.
He's not that bad. I mean, he's gotten a lot better.
He's a great swimmer, but at this world championship level,
he's not.
I mean, like compared to Jan Frodeno and those guys, he sucks. But that's why I think what's actually going to change for him is his run over the last couple of years.
It's gotten good.
Is getting good. If his run gets if his run can hit that sub 240 level, if he's that sub 240 guy, he's going to win a world championship. Because all it takes is the Norwegians to have one bad day. He just needs Christian to have one bad day.
How far back is he when he gets out of the water? How far back?
4 minutes.
Not that
in a
bad.
Full.
Yeah.
4 minutes in a full.
He's
closed the gap a ton over his career. It used to be like 6 to 8 minutes.
Oh, he makes up that 4 minutes.
He used to be back where I'm swimming.
So hold on. If he were to say, it's probably unheard of to take a minute out of that time, that 4 minutes, is that possible for him?
Yeah, that's possible for him.
He can, but that group
anything?
That he's in. Yeah, so what has to happen in the championship is the group that he's in, and he talks about this in his post-race video, has to swim more efficiently. The problem is all 20 of those guys are around the same speed, and they're being idiots. They're like fighting each other in the water. What Lionel was saying after, he's like, we just needed two guys to go to the front and move and just everybody line out behind them. He's like, but you can't communicate that in the water. So it's kind of like during a bike race.
You almost need to do a pre-race.
Pre-race, exactly.
Hey, we're all the second or third pack.
Yeah.
They're probably second or third pack,
whatever
they are.
But are they going to do that for him? You're just going to use us to get up there and then blow our doors off?
No, but they would because all of those guys are in the same boat. It's like Sam Long.
There's some strong
all these guys that are,
there.
They're all not great swimmers, but they're good cyclists. And they know
they all want the same thing.
They all want the same thing. So
they just need to communicate that before the race.
So
it might happen in Kona. They might communicate that in Kona.
I could see that happening. If Lionel Sanders and Sam Long were like, we're going to lead a group of 10 people and we're going to all like trade off and we're going to pull. And like when you're in front, pull. Like, I could see them doing that. And there's no shame in that. They got to do something.
And that alone, without anybody getting faster during that time period, would bridge that minute. It would be a minute faster.
Do you remember when Lionel Sanders got disqualified for doing exactly this?
Did he?
Yeah. So there was this other professional triathlete that was like, I'm going to pace you in the swim. And paced him. This was quite a few years ago, maybe 4 years ago or something.
I do remember this.
Paced him the whole time through the swim. And then I don't know if like that was, mm-hmm. I don't know if he dropped out or whatever, but then I think Lionel Sanders was like, yeah, that wasn't fair. You know, mm-hmm. I accept the disqualification or whatever it was. I think he was disqualified from the entire race.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But no, you're right. I mean, like that would be fair if you communicate that with the whole group. And I've even been in the, you know, pro racks when guys are talking about this, like you know who you're supposed to be swimming with. You get the couple of guys that are just like heads up in the freaking clouds and they're just like, no man, I'm gonna swim 24. And you're like, no, you're not. You've been swimming 26, 27, 3 weeks ago. You're not dropping 2 minutes off your time today. Yeah.
Like, where does he stack up in just running and just cycling?
Biking right now, there are some very strong cyclists. He's top eight right
running,
now.
Running and cycling, he's in the mix.
Running right now, in my opinion,
top people. He's not the best.
Running, I think, over this distance, over the full. We're only talking about the full. I think he's top three. I think biking, he's top eight.
Okay, so if they went on
dangerous combo,
if they just went on and did a bicycle race, would he handle? Could he be a winner there?
He does pretty well.
He's very strong.
Just a marathon. They were just going to go out and just run. He could handle his business and potentially win there too.
He wouldn't win because the Norwegians are still faster than him in the marathon. Yeah. That's why I'm saying his bridge to winning is if his run can reach that alien level that Christian Blumenfeld's at.
Which we know is impossible.
Unless he starts doing the good stuff.
Well, he's got the right coach.
He does.
So what you're saying is he can't win at running because the Norwegians are too fast. He sucks at swimming. So he just needs to quit all of that crap and just go race bikes.
I like that idea. He should just race
He set
bikes.
The Canadian record for the hour
record,
on the track.
He did it. And then he was like, I'm already good at this. Why do I want to hang out with these losers? I'm going to go to triathlon. That was what, you know.
Which is pretty cool for a triathlete.
You suck at swimming, dude. You're slow.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah, but I mean, like him jumping into this is the thing I have to tell whenever a triathlete's like, man, these guys are really fast. They should just go into pro cycling. Is like, no, there's obviously a ton of other factors that make you a good professional cyclist, like riding in a group or descending.
Things that he probably can't do.
No, I'm sure he would get spit out the back in a pro Peloton's descent as soon as it started.
When did he start triathlon? When did he start?
After he finished doing drugs.
Yeah, after before he started doing a lot of drugs.
Seriously.
So he was a collegiate runner before that in Canada and then did a lot of drugs, stopped, and then started at 25, I think 24.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well,
he was very good.
So do you think he can win? You said yes. Right?
Yes, I think one of these years what's going to happen is kind of like what happened this year where guys get sick. There's going to be a little watered down field, and there's going to be that chance that one of the Norwegians just does not have his day. I don't think anybody else is moving up to the full from that super fast 73 ITU world right now in time to interrupt him. Huh. If the Vincent Lewis and Martin Van Riels of the world all of a sudden are like, we're only doing Ironman, then no, he will not win because those guys, as soon as they focus on it, are going to be really fast.
So variables out of his control are what going to lead to him winning.
Yes.
I think that
he's next man up. So he's next man up. It just takes his day.
Yeah. I think that it's going to be very tricky just because, like, I think maybe Kona this time around might be like his chance.
It's kind of his window.
Because he's getting older too.
Yes.
It's just, kind of it's going to be tricky.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe this October, he is a good pick for podium.
Yeah.
But he probably won't be my pick to win. We'll see.
Second place last second go around.
Hey, so I heard about your race.
Second place is the first loser, baby.
It is. Tell Lucy Charles that. I'm sorry, Lucy, too soon. She's injured now, too. That was mean.
All right.
Yeah, she's going to listen to this too podcast soon, and be so upset.
I'm sorry, Lucy.
I think we're done here, boys. I think that's all of us. Everybody did their stuff. I think
that's
we need to jump into one last thing. Who wants to go first? Matt LeGrand is going to be, I think, our unofficial new first.
I always have a video.
Yes.
I posted a video about the Brighton Rider S800, which is it's their top-of-the-line bike computer. And I have some issues with Brighton, and I say this in the video. They tend to have some buggy software. They don't have Strava Live segments, so that's like an immediate no for you guys. but this thing has actually got some pretty cool stuff. First of all, it's a massive display, but it's slim, so it's nice and light. And it's got this thing where you have this like group ride feature. Super cool. So you could be like, hey, let's put all of us on a group ride. You can just talk to it and it'll send a text message to the group. And you can see which where people are in the group, and you can do all this kind of like other stuff. Like,
oh, that's cool.
Super neat stuff, all right on the bike computer itself. Although it does communicate through your phone that you have to have with you on your back or whatever. But still, also, you know, a whole bunch of additional features, you know, like talk to navigate your device. And
do they use a specific AI, or is it their own AI that does the talking with?
It uses, so like you press a button, you talk through the computer. It gets that information gets relayed to your phone, and then it's translated to text, which doesn't do it perfect, of course. But then, you know, that message goes out to the group. Problem is, everyone has to have a Brighton S800, which no one has, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like a really cool feature that's not going to go anywhere. If someone like Garmin were to do it, yeah, it would be amazing.
Like, so you got Hammerhead, which
Hammerhead Crew.
Yeah, yep. They did a really good job of like trying to puncture into this whole marketplace and try and captivate some mm-hmm. of that market share. And I think all along their idea was like, keep pushing. Somebody's going to buy us out one of these days, and yep, voila, you know, SRAM voila steps in and there you go. Do you think that that's kind of what they're aiming for as well? And if so, who would you see buying them?
I think I don't get the same vibe that I get from Hammerhead. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, someone's going to want to own a bike computer company and they're an easy grab, but
is
I
there
don't see it happening.
Tech or their programming or their software, is there anything in there that's proprietary that somebody like a Garmin could come up and say, hey, we're going to buy up your stuff just for your software and for your...
It's not the kind of software that you want because it's buggy.
Gotcha.
I think what Garmin would do is be like, this is a cool feature. We're going to do it correctly.
Yeah. Or
no,
just go
not create. License it, just
okay.
do it.
Okay.
And so it's the same thing like with any climber feature, right? Like the Climber Pro, climbers.
Yeah.
Like every company except for Wahoo has that.
Uh-huh.
Even Brighton has that. Wahoo's the only one that doesn't have it. Mm. But no one has licensed that. Everyone's just like, yeah, this is awesome. Everyone loves this feature. Let's all do it. And they're all doing it pretty much the same way. And it's good, except for Hammerhead's doing it the best.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to have a route. You can just have all your elevation information. All you have to do is go ride a hill and it'll just know your elevation and where the top of the hill is. And it's pretty cool. So
interesting.
Brighton video out. And then as this particular podcast goes live on Wednesday, there should be another announcement that we're all quite excited about. So check the channel for that. Hopefully I will have done my work staying up late at night, editing a video and putting it together.
Yep.
Yep. YouTube.
Sweet.
Yep.
And Price, one last thing.
I will be racing here in a couple hours with Lance Hepler, which is going to be an absolute blast.
Huh.
I'm just going to keep on saying it so that he has to come now. Because if I say it on multiple forums, then he has to come. So
you're saying we have to put out the podcast like in the next half an hour. So like it's out there and everybody's expecting him.
And yes, I will be sandbagging in the 4.5s. But, you know, I don't feel bad about it. So
how far away are you from getting a 3?
Oh, probably eons. I mean, I have no race results. Like, I mean, really what I do is lead the group around. And then as soon as guys are like, I'm going to sprint for my life, I'm like, that's okay. I have a run after this. So I think
you have
back out
to have too many races as a Cat 4.
No, probably like 5 or 6. I mean, it used to be 10 races back when the
weekly,
you can race whatever you want.
No, but the weekly races don't really have the same upgrade points.
Not as the
weekend races.
Yeah. In the last 2 years, I have a grand total of,
is that your plan? Just
yeah. points.
Well, are you just going to go to the front tonight?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just going to, yeah.
I think that
Is it a secret plan?
Jerry will be so mad at me. Yeah, here's my secret plan, guys. I'm going to go to the front and then wait for somebody to take one bad corner, and then I'm gone.
Okay, real quick, though, what should Evan do in this race tonight to, like, better show off his prowess on the bike?
Go to the front, sit there,
and let everybody draft off.
Go to the front and just hurt as long as you can.
Here's my plan. So even though I don't like to go completely to the well in these races, there is a way I can get away. And what has to happen is on the hot laps...
Yes.
In the 4 or 5 field, we have some cyclocross guys who have some good pop.
Yeah.
You know, and they're experienced cyclocross racers, so they know how to ride a bike. This is why I can't get away from this field always, because these guys do know how to ride bikes. So they will go and dead sprint on these hot laps. And the one time I almost got away, and I know I made a lot of the field really hurt, was I'm not going to sprint those. I have no business sprinting in a hot lap. So I wait for all of them to go, and then I went over to the left and real sneaky, like, just went for it right after the hot lap, like immediately after going into that first turn. And I was away for like half a lap. The guys had to string out and drop people to bring me back. Yeah, so I got to wait for that.
Those guys are probably putting out 800 to 1,000 watts for a longer period of time, maybe a little bit more towards the end, who knows. But you can come off of that group and pretend like you're going to chase them.
Yeah.
You're not, though. You're just kind of burning a micromatch, but you just need to use that to get yourself out front and then just go lock into like 340, 350 watts for the rest of the race.
Yep.
Nobody's going to catch up to you.
Yeah. That's basically got to be the plan. That's got to be the plan.
And then if you've got some teammates, too,
chef legs.
Send some people a few times. Send some people and then see who responds. And then if something sticks, then you can get out of the saddle and get up to those people and work with them. Or as soon as some of the bigger kids that can respond to these things have answered a few of those attacks, that's when you're going to go do your thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for a preem lap.
Yeah, this is true. PIR, I am finding, though, is just a very hard race to get. Me and Hannah were talking
it's
after the race,
to get
too.
Away.
It is like
it is hard to get away.
You can have the best laid plans, you know, go right. Like, PIR is a hard race. I don't care what field you're in. It is a very, very hard race to
Plus,
get away.
Plus, there's multiple fields on the course at the same time.
Yeah.
So usually there's some kind of
lap
neutral
traffic.
Something that happens.
Yeah.
And if... Yeah, that can affect it too.
Oh, if I'm away and I've got like 10, 20 seconds, I am blowing through whatever field I catch because I'm not wasting that 10, 20 seconds. I will yell at the top of my lungs and be like, please let me through.
Well,
when we're talking about the 4.5s and we're talking about Evan with his horsepower and the fact that you just got to go around in circles.
I love the course. It's a blast of a course to race on. It really is. It's just, it's a good workout because it's really hard to get away. So it's more exciting for everybody because usually a good group gets to be involved in the race, which is fun. Yeah. So
and look for some people taking a flyer on a break. If you can get in with like
two,
three,
four
other
guys to come out. Yeah, that'd be great.
And not just from our team, any team.
There was one guy last time who wanted to try and go with me.
Yeah.
And I think he was strong enough to do some help. So was just, we were being followed by everybody. So.
Jeremiah Romano is going to be a good teammate for you out there. He's
strong. Jeremiah had an absolute blast last time. I loved having
he's
Jeremiah
fun.
Out there. He's so cool.
If he doesn't have a lot of road racing experience, just sit down and come up with a game plan before.
He's got great bike. I mean, he's always had good bike power, but he's a guy who absolutely has like, he'd be better at bike racing than he realizes until he jumps in.
Now, Josh Monda was going to come out tonight, but he's sick. And was he going to be... What category is he?
Oh, we were gonna. Josh has never road raced,
so he's a 4.5.
So we
that
would have
been
in that race together.
Ridiculous.
Give it a couple months. It's gonna happen here soon. It's gonna happen here soon.
That's funny.
And yes, I was joking with him that he needs to show up in like jean shorts, and like have a frame pump so people are like, who is this? Who is this Joe? And then we just need to we'll just send both of us at some point.
You just have to jump together. Awesome.
Yeah, that's and that's what I just described as the moment we're going to jump at together.
Here's what you need. Yeah. You need this guy out there with you to kind of coach you along.
Come with me.
Just tell you, go.
You could take poles with me. If we time that right, we got it.
That's if I want to.
I will take I will take 80% of those poles. All I need is just like that 30-second breather each lap is it. Yeah.
Little breather.
Yeah.
Put a GoPro on your bike.
We'll have fun.
Yeah. Put a GoPro on there so we can get some race commentary from
you. Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Cool.
Oh, I talked the entire race too.
Lance Hepler, one last thing, bud.
I got nothing to talk about. If I do come race tonight, it's just going to be sitting on the back and finishing on the lead lap. There'll be no work to be done unless there's an opportunity that I cannot pass, which sometimes that happens.
Oh, if we're coming that last lap and we're together, I'm coming out just lead out train for you is all I'm doing. Just keep on the gas for Lance to get at least a sprint point.
All right. So my one last thing is we got a pretty cool little event coming up this weekend. Haven't really put it out there yet because it just kind of all finally came together last week. You know, all this Bikes for Kids stuff that we did, all that money that we raised for the ugly Christmas sweater rides and the bikes that we've purchased that have been just hanging out down here at the lab and then, you know, just piling up over here, these beautiful little BMC two-stroke 24-inch mountain bikes. We're going to give them away to a bunch of kids this weekend.
Wow.
Where at?
We've teamed up with the Vancouver Police Department and their PALS program in conjunction with the Vancouver School District. And they have some at-risk kids that kind of need some help. And these kids think that they're signing up. Well, shoot. They're not going to listen to this podcast.
I don't think these kids are listening to this.
These kids think that they're signed up for this bicycle clinic. And they're going to come out and they're going to get to ride some cool little bikes and learn about bike handling and doing all the fun things on these little mountain bikes. And you know, they're going to show up, and there's brand new shiny little bikes that are awesome. They're kids that are, how old are these kids? I think they're like somewhere between like 8 and 11 years old, if I'm not mistaken, or 10 years old, somewhere there. Anyway, and they're going to get out there, and they're like, oh, and they got a helmet for me too. It was a brand new helmet. Nobody's ever wore that, but that's cool. Then they're going to go, and they're going to go through this whole clinic. And when the clinic's done and over, oh, hey, kids, by the way, see that bike you're wearing, the helmet you got on?
Oh, that's cool.
You get to keep that. That's yours.
That is
awesome.
Which
is freaking awesome.
Very cool.
these kids have been working with this PALS program. It's like a community outreach program for kids that are going to be at risk. And what's neat about this is that PALS program is going to keep them on target with respect to the good things that they're supposed to be doing. So one of the things, like if you were a kid and you got in trouble, what would happen? Mom and dad would take stuff away from you. PALS program can do that with the bike. They're not going to like take it away from you. You don't ever get to see this bike again, but they can lose the privilege of having the bike to ride. So they're going to kind of have something just to kind of be that little carrot out there to keep doing good things.
Yeah.
And I love this program and it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to be doing this weekend.
We'll be
putting out some posts for volunteers. We need a bunch of volunteers to come out and help us. You know, all the people that have donated and have been asking about this for a long time. This is it.
What day is this?
It's going to be the Saturday.
Saturday.
Cool. So the 21st, if I'm not mistaken. And
nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there's also a bicycle race on Sunday, the 22nd, right?
There is the Banana Belt out at Hag Lake.
Yep, that's another thing to put on your schedule, too. That's my other one last thing. So,
nice.
All that stuff is coming down the pipeline, and it's going to be a fun weekend. Hopefully, we can have some decent weather.
Hopefully,
decent weather. So
looks like it.
There's only one slight little itsy-bitsy problem. The balance of the bikes that are coming from BMC, because we needed 20 bikes.
Mm-hmm.
We only have, I think, 13 of them or 12 of them or something like that, and the balance of them are en route. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that those arrive here before the weekend so we can get them built up and be ready for this weekend. So, that's about it, guys. That's a wrap.
Nice.
Anything else? Crickets?
Another podcast. Another podcast. Number 429.
This is 220.
220?
This is 220.
220.
That's crazy.
Another podcast.
That's a lot.
It's coming up.
All right. Well, we do appreciate everybody listening. We will be back with another one next week. And until then, bye for now.